Welcome to the Neurosurgery Podcast. Mike Wang here with JP, and we decided to do a special recording because, you know, in our travels, we interact with so many wonderful neurosurgeons and neurosurgical affiliates. And last week, we had an unexpected, shocking, and premature loss of one of our neurosurgery sisters, Irene Say. Irene was a faculty member at UC San Francisco. She's been on our podcast before. In some ways, I've known Irene for about 10 years, and I used to kind of call her my little sister. In fact, in the week of the spine section, which was just before her death, she spent a tremendous amount of time with myself, JP, and our University of Miami spine crew. So I know Praveen Mumanini was one of her great mentors. We anticipated that Irene would be a major leader inside of organized spine surgery, and she was making good headway there. But it's a tragic, unexpected, and horrible loss that we've experienced. JP, you got to know Irene a little bit. She was on our podcast. You want to share some words about her?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked when I heard the news, and I'm kind of at the other end of the spectrum from you. I just met her. I you know, didn't have a relationship with her for years as you did. And I'm sorry to you and everyone else who knew her more than I, and is feeling that loss in your lives as well as obviously the loss to our field, but as a person first. I first came to know Irene through your interview with her on the podcast, which I wasn't a part of, but I enjoyed listening to, and she seemed like a bright, energetic, really driven surgeon. And then, as you said, just a few weeks ago in Las Vegas at the Spine Summit this year, I met her in person when I was with Dr. DiGiorgio, who's been on the show a bunch lately. He introduced me, and we crossed paths. We hung out. We had drinks several times over the course of the meeting. And then even when I was leaving Vegas, she was there at the airport in the same terminal. We sat and had lunch and talked about her being on the show and her practice and all the things that a surgeon like her would talk to about someone like me, you know, coming to the end of residency and what are your career plans. And she was just extraordinarily kind, and she was thoughtful, really took the time to talk about what I wanted to do and give me advice and everything, and just chit chat about the podcast and all these silly things that we do. But I was really struck by just how kind and nice of a person she was, even while talking about these professional things and life decisions and career path. And so then when I heard this had happened, you know, it was really shocking to me because I had just, not only had I just been with her, but I had just met her. And it's really, really quite a blow.
Yeah, I think before we started recording, we talked about how we would make a conscious effort not to dwell on the events surrounding her unexpected passing. And I think out of respect to her and her family, we really don't want to go into that. But I do think for our listeners who care a lot about our field of neurosurgery, I think Irene would have appreciated that we emphasize those elements, even though she never showed it on her, you know, external demeanor. Sort of the cost of doing business in our field. And Irene is certainly not the first young person that was unexpectedly lost. And there's so many, and we could go into all the previous ones. I don't want to make this a very negative commentary, but, you know, we talk a lot about how this field is unique. And I think it's very obvious how, you know, when you draw the analogy of Navy SEALs, where they experience danger. And I think certainly ours not to nearly that degree, but you think about the psychological cost, the physical toll, the lost time, the risk. I mean, people get stuck with needles that are from patients transmitting potentially diseases to us. We just had an incident last week like that here in Miami, and we don't have to talk about COVID. That's a foregone conclusion. All of us worked during the pandemic, almost all of us, I think. But I think there is a real cost, and I think that for our listeners, they have an acute awareness of this and the need to have a sort of a sense of your own well-being. And this is not the typical thing you get the email from your dean about your well-being. This is something quite different. JP, maybe you can speak to how that is forged, developed, or refined in residency and how we try to build that, although maybe we don't do a good enough job?
I think that from the resident perspective, at least as I have seen and lived it in the one place where I've worked, it's very much among ourselves. And by that, I don't mean individuals. I mean, it's not the dean sending you an email. It's not our attendings checking on us, which they do and they try to, but it's mostly the residents taking care of the residents. And I make a concerted effort as frequently as is possible to check in on the juniors. You know, we all know what year of residency is the toughest and who's on the worst rotation and taking a lot of call. And it's a fine line between, you don't want to coddle someone, right? Because they have to go through transformative, difficult experiences. And we've been talking about that a lot on the show in the past few months, but there's always the bridge too far, right? And so I think it's the duty and the responsibility, like in any family, an older sibling, the more senior residents who have been through those times and survived it and come through the other side, to check in and monitor and encourage the juniors who are first getting exposed to the depths and the darkness of the really tough nights over and over again for months at a time, and not forget what it's like to go through that when you haven't before, and not forget that we all came through it, and try to perhaps by example show the juniors that we all do get through it and you can get through it and it gets better and you become stronger on the other side. So I would encourage any resident who's listening, if you're a junior, it gets better, you'll get through it. Believe me, I'm living proof. And for the seniors, if it's not something that occurs to you as often, though I think everyone I know is good about this, take a moment and check in on your juniors and make sure that they're getting through and keeping their head up, even when the times are tough.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you rarely hear about this happening in our ranks in residency, right? But as an attending, I think it's even harder because there's a sense of isolation. And for the folks out there listening who are attendings, you all know what I'm talking about, that when, you know, you have complications or lawsuit or angry patients, or, you know, you're just overtaxed, or it's been a really hard call week, who do you reach out to? Do you have old friends from residency? Do you have new friends? And I would just encourage folks, because JP and I, we go to all the meetings. You know, if you want to have a drink or hang out or whatever it is that you do, just come up to us. And you know, I know we're all busy. We're running around doing these things, but this is a community. This is a community that Irene was part of. Maybe we didn't do a good enough job in being there for her for everything she needed. And that's on us. It's a tragedy. But I do want to emphasize that JP and I started this podcast because of a response to the Dr. Death podcast. And we're here because we believe in this community. We love this community. It is our heart and soul. It is everything to us. So to Irene's friends and Irene's family, our condolences. She will be remembered. I know Praveen and the spine section and the folks that were her friends are setting up proper ways to memorialize her immense contribution, the lost potential, and to try to minimize the risk that anything like this ever happens again.
Yes, and I will say for the listeners, you know, obviously Dr. Wang and I are not out in California. We're not in that system, but if we can help connect you to those people, if you want to contribute, I believe they're setting up a fund or for any kind of memorial that's being arranged. Our friends are out there. And so if you want to get in touch with anyone to chip in or help or contribute anything to the memorial or to the fund, and you don't have a contact out there, you don't know how to reach them, you can always reach us, neurosurgerypodcast@gmail.com. Write to us. We'll help you get in touch with the right people out there if you want to contribute or add anything to what they're setting up in her memory.